This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's July 1st, episode 691, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of the year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable host, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me. But I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, thanks to everybody for joining us here on Monday morning. I will apologize now. I have not slept in, I don't know, over a month. Maybe really if you go put together the last month of pregnancy, it's really been about 2 months that I haven't slept. And I just have no clue what's going to come out of my mouth. I'm exhausted. I'm sleep deprived. I'm usually hungry. so I don't know what else to tell you other than I apologize early and I'll apologize often. How about that?
Welcome back, Jamie. You know what?
Thanks.
We have found in the past month and had to actually, you know, before you went on your little break, is that you're funnier when you're sleep deprived and grumpy. So,
well, whatever I can do to help make this show better, okay?
Yeah, we appreciate the effort. Thank you so much. Well, how is the little guy?
Oh my gosh, he's so cute. He is just so cute. And when you're around babies and people hand you their kid, and usually when people hand me their child, it starts crying immediately, you know. But this is like one baby that when it starts crying, people hand it to me and it stops crying. It's really cool. It's like, oh, I know you. I'm like, it surprises me every time. I'm like, oh, it stopped.
I know the feeling. We've had the same problem with babies. I think those of us that have never had babies, babies know. You know, they know you're not really a dad or a mom, and they just start crying when you touch them.
Yeah, it's weird. I've always been the one that he handed the baby and it started crying and this one stops. So it's really cool. And we don't really know who he looks like yet. He doesn't really look like either one of us, but hopefully he'll be a healthy mix, look more like his dad as well. And it's really, really fun. It's exhausting, but incredibly rewarding. And it's weird. It's so strange. You guys, y'all heard me talking for months and months about this whole thing and how I wasn't totally sold on the whole thing.
Even that's though an understatement.
I was clearly having it and pregnant and going to have to push forward no matter what. But definitely something happens to you where you just switch. You just switch goes off. And I swear if somebody tried to hurt my baby, I would kill them in like in a dramatic fashion. And what's weird is I go out to see the horses and I miss him. I know I'm sounding totally sappy and weird, but yeah, there's just something that happens and it's really cool. And it has to happen with the woman because the man, let me tell you how worthless a man is in the middle of the night of waking up to hear a baby. I'm like, I just hit him like, how do you not hear him crying? And he's like, what? What'd you say? I'm like, the baby is in our room and he's crying. How do you not hear that? Like, because it's to the point where at some point he has got to go feed him. He's got to at least help. One time in the middle of the night, just once. And every time I have to wake up hitting him. So, I don't know. The race would not continue without women. All babies would starve to death in their beds. It was up to men.
Hey, Jennifer, Jamie sounds like a mom now. I just have to say that. She's a mom. I just have to say it. That's funny. That's cute.
You just sound like you're just to kind of sound like a worthless man at this point.
It's
I would
cute.
Like to thank Chad for babysitting right now.
I was just going to say, is Chad babysitting, or are we going to have we're going to have baby breaks in the show?
Let me tell you that the baby is sleeping right now, and he is in the bed in the little bassinet next to the bed. So if he does start crying and I hear the crying for more than, 20 seconds, I will have to leave because I'm going to go hit my husband for not waking up. When I woke him up right before the show and I said, you're watching the baby. I got to go to work. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, and I will talk about it a little bit later in the show. Baby Luke is his name. That's what we've been calling him here on the show. So
Baby Luke,
he'll probably be Baby Luke till he's like 25, but, He has a best friend, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on the show because you've posted pictures of his best friend. We'll chat about that a little bit later. But first, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show other than baby talk?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, prepare for the return of hard-hitting, topic-driven journalism, folks, because the dynamic duo is back. And following a 30-minute behind-the-scenes tour of the equine universe, we will be joined by Kim Skipton from the American Saddlebred Museum, who is charged with the hopeful task of enlightening us on this most American of breeds. And rounding out our trip across horsedom, Uta Shepherd from Ohio takes to the airwaves for a listener highlight. And happy 146th birthday, Canada.
Yes, it is. And on that note, I have one of these. My Daily Whinny goes out to some Canadians, Rhonda and Jason up there in Canada, our legacy listeners up there. We wanted to thank them, first of all, for being listeners, and second, for sending us a postcard that while they were on their cruise back in April from Castaway Keys, which is the Disney island, they sent us a nice postcard from Castaway Keys. Get this, Jamie. It's dated April the 25th, and we got it on Saturday, 2 months later.
No way.
Yes, 2 months later. So, we got this Disney.
That's like slower. That's slower than the Pony Express.
I know. Yes, you could have ridden the pony from Castaway Keys to here in the meantime. Oh, across the water and everything. It would have went just fine. But yeah, so we just got this. Postcard, and I wanted to thank him for it. It's got Mickey and Minnie on the beach. So we knew it had to be from them, but 2 months later.
I want to ask something real quick. Disney has its own island?
Yes, and they stop there. Every Disney cruise stops at Castaway Keys. It's their own island. They have all kinds of, they have the beaches, and they have animal parts where you can pet, you can pet like dolphins, and then you can take you can do all kinds of water sports. You can do anything, parasailing, whatever you want to do, and you spend the whole day there. Food there and everything. Yes, so they do have. It's called Castaway Keys. It's in the Bahamas.
Mickey's taking over the world. That's crazy. I never knew about that.
Yeah, a lot of the cruise lines have their own islands like that. And they stop at their own islands. And the reason they do that is because when you stop at the other islands and get off and go to the Bahamas and stuff, it's crowded with people. This is just them. So your boat's the only one there that day. So it kind of works out for a lot of the cruise lines to do that.
If you're into cruising and, eating bad food and everybody getting sick and then getting stuck in the middle of the ocean and having to swim for it, if you're into that, go for a cruise.
You're not going to be doing one for a long time. Here is your Daily Whinny.
Oh my gosh, where do I begin? Okay, I'm going to try to comprise this. I was just ripping on my husband for not waking up, but the rest of the day, he has been absolutely amazing. Can I just tell you that every evening for the past week, it's so hot here that you barely can ride a horse, but if you are going to ride, you need to ride right as the sun's going down. And he has babysat every night while I've been out riding the horses. And he
Well, that answers that question. I was going to ask you if you're out riding again.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. But I would also like to thank everybody who filled in for me. And I guess that would be Wendy, and Helena, and I know Uta was supposed to fill in for me today, and I ruined her morning, I'm sure. So who else do I need to thank? Jennifer was in there a couple times.
Yeah. And I had to work extra hard and, like, be concentrating during the show because you weren't here, so you have to thank me.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know.
You poor thing. Thank you, Glenn.
I'm used to when you're talking, I just zone out, and I'm in left field someplace, but no, I couldn't do that. I had to actually pay attention.
I know. You're like online shopping. You're on Craigslist. It's crazy. So I'm here. I'm back. You can start slacking again.
Oh, good. Thank you.
But,
a month of that was enough.
So that's my daily whinny. That's my daily whinny. Everybody, thank you so much for taking care of things. And I can't say that I'll be here Monday, Wednesday, Friday again. So, Helena, I think your job on Wednesday is safe. Y'all don't need me here every day being delusional. Once or twice a week is enough.
Come back as often as you can. We're glad to have you back. We're glad that you're here.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I do have a special announcement.
And,
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going
to
make these.
Well, you were just asking me about riding, so I didn't know if you wanted me to talk about that, or did you want to?
Let's do this housekeeping thing first, and then we'll get into that. I just wanted to let everybody know that this Sunday, July the 7th at 2:30 p.m., is the big battle at the Gettysburg 150th anniversary of the Civil War, and they're having their reenactment there. We have many of the guests that we have had on the shows who have been reenactors are going to be there with their horses and part of this. There are 40,000 reenactors. This is the largest reenactment ever in the United States. 800 horses, and they're expecting 200,000 to 300,000 visitors over this week. And we have something special that we've been able to put together with the people up there for the horse world, and that is that they are doing what they're calling a battle cast. It is live coverage of Pickett's Charge, which is happening on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. in Gettysburg, and you can watch it on our website. You just go to horseradionetwork.com. There'll be a big banner in the middle of the page. And you can actually watch the live coverage of this. The first time they've ever done a live video coverage of the event. It does cost money. It is $12.99 to watch it. It's a 4-month subscription, so they're going to have lots of content of a lot of the different battles that have happened over this week period of time. So you can go back and watch that over the next 4 months on our website. But it's well worth it. You'd pay a heck of a lot. You'd pay more than that for one ticket if you were in Gettysburg. So we're actually going to have a Gettysburg party here on Sunday, invite all our friends who are into the reenactments and stuff, and we're going to invite them over. We're going to hook it up to the big screen TV, and we're going to watch it. And you can do the same by going to horseradionetwork.com. It's going to be well worth it. There are a ton of horses and a lot of the people that, including Smokey Brannaman will be there. He traveled from the West Coast over to there to be part of this, and a lot of people have.
No way.
Yep. So Smokey will be there with his horses, and there was that California group we had on the air that do the cannons and stuff with their horses, and they're going to be there. They traveled all the way across the country, so it's quite an event, and we'll have it for you at horseradionetwork.com on Sunday.
Cool.
So that's really
sounds
neat.
Good.
And of course, for a history junkie like Jennifer and I are, this is just really cool stuff.
I'm just curious. You know, is that when the battle starts, people always get shot immediately, and the battle goes on for maybe potentially hours. And there's like that guy that got shot right at the beginning. Does he just go to sleep in there in the field?
He pretty much lays there. Yep. That's what happens. We've been to a lot of reenactments, and the first guy's down, and they determine all of that before the battle starts. But if it's your turn to be down first, you lay there the whole time. Now, the last battle we were at in Florida, the reenactment, the one guy that went right down in front of us at the beginning, he actually had his video camera out, and he had it sort of hidden under his hand, and he was videoing the whole thing from his perspective on the ground. it was funny.
Awesome.
We got pictures of him actually doing that with his phone. But yeah, those guys sit there, and there's an interesting thing that happens is the nurses, quote unquote, the women that were part of the battles that acted as nurses actually do go around to everybody that goes down to check on them and make sure they're okay. And that something didn't happen. you know, that they didn't accidentally have a heart attack or whatever, you know, or get shot. So they do check on them, each one.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's good.
So there you go. Now, back to riding. You, last time we talked to you, you punked us, the three of us, on a Wednesday by calling in and acting like you were playing the Wheel of Trivia. And you got us all, I have to say. You did a good job with that. Even, and I'm the one that even answered the phone that day. And you had me tricked.
You did.
I know.
You did. I was Julie from North Carolina, and bless your heart, you just fell right into it. Not just you, like, have you ever played the wheel before? I'm like, no, I've never played. Yeah. So I appreciate patching me through. I still have not gotten my prize, so I'm a little irritated.
You know what? We forgot to get your address. You didn't hold on the line, and
dang it!
Forgot to get your address. But yeah, at that point, it was like a week after the baby, and you had gotten on the ride, and you said it didn't go so well, so you were going to hold off a little. But it sounds like you didn't hold off long.
Well, let's see. I mean, you know, you've got these horses in your backyard, and I think anybody, plus being an eventer where you're so goal-driven and the horses get worked every single day, it's just been driving me crazy for way too long to see them sitting there. And most of the horses that are here, well, there's six horses here, most of them are leased out, but my two haven't been leased. And so my two horses, Edward and Jet, have been just standing there. And I can't stand it anymore. So I started doing some lunging. Then I realized it was time for Jet to get his hocks injected again. So I had the vet come out. And then, of course, you spend the money to get the hocks injected. You need to start exercising them. So you need to start riding them. So I started riding Jet and Edward one a day. And now I'm on two a day. And then I realized, oh, my God, in 11 days, there's a horse trial up in Flagstaff. So I entered and Jet and I are going to a horse trial in 11 days.
You were just trying to beat Jessica Phoenix's record for being at a horse show a month after.
Yeah, she was in the Pan Am Games, so I don't think so enough. I had to bump back down to novice, so I am just taking a novice, and Luke will be having his first weekend basically outside because I can't take him outside. He can hardly even make it from the house to the air-conditioned car without getting overheated because this godforsaken desert I live in is 120 degrees. So we're going to Flagstaff.
I thought
7,000 feet elevation.
I did think about you as I was seeing that Las Vegas and Phoenix and everywhere were having record-breaking temperatures. I mean, Death Valley was at 130, and then you guys were at almost 120, and I was thinking, oh, Jamie's got to be loving this.
Yeah. You can't do anything. It's just you're paralyzed, and it's awful. You know, I lost actually a baby. I got some baby chicks, and I lost one of my chicks because of the heat. So now they've got misters, and the horses are in all day, and I don't let them see the sun. And it's so much work to do all that and have a baby and still try to ride. So it's been exciting.
But aren't you glad you're not pregnant at 120 degrees?
Dude, I'm just glad I'm not pregnant, period. That was awful. I swear, there's a reason that they make pregnancy so awful, so you really look forward to having the baby, because the last, being pregnant sucks. I don't recommend that to anybody. Having a baby is kind of fun, but the pregnancy thing is awful.
Hey, we got a caller on the line here, Jamie. We have Rhonda from Canada, who I gave my daily whinny to earlier. Hello, Rhonda. Happy Canada Day.
Hi, Glenn and Jamie. Happy Canada Day.
Well, now...
Happy Canada Day, Rhonda?
Yeah, exactly. Welcome back, Jamie.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Well, now, I got your postcard 2 months later.
Yeah, we've actually got a Facebook group for everyone, not everyone, but people that went on that cruise, and they were all coming on and saying, has anyone got their postcard yet? And everyone was saying no, and then some people were saying, yeah, we finally got it, and so I'd lost hope, but I'm glad you got it.
What'd they do, take it by rowboat from Castaway Keys? And we live in Florida. Once they got it to the coast, it shouldn't have taken that long.
I know. Who knows what they did with it? But when I was at the post office there, they did say that that it takes a long time sometimes, but I'm so glad that you did get it because I forgot your address on the ship. So we went on to Castaway Key, and then I went back by myself. We were with some other people. I went back on the ship, got your address, went to the post office. They don't sell postcards there. So then I had to take the tram back to the middle of Castaway Key, get a postcard, fill that out, go back to the post office, get the stamp, and put it in. So by the time, and then go back on the tram to the middle where Jason and the other people that we met were. So I'm glad you got it.
Rhonda, I just have a quick question. Is it just going to take a little while longer to get my postcard, being that I live farther in Glen?
Well,
is that what happened?
Here with us.
Did you get lost? Is that what happened?
Yeah, okay.
So I'll just wait for it. I'll check the mailbox every day.
Well, you've got your Hickstead bandage, and they don't
That's true.
So.
Yeah,
that's true. My Hickstead arm band is wrapped around the briar, Hickstead briar. So you, I did get that. You're right. But I'll just wait for my postcard. I'll keep checking.
Okay.
See,
right.
she didn't have your address, and she didn't feel like going back a second time to the ship to get it. That was what it was.
Yes. I'm not sure where I would have found her address on the ship.
Probably on a bathroom wall. Don't worry about it.
So tell us.
Probably, yeah.
I assume this is as big. Is Canada Day the same as our 4th of July, where everybody shoots off fireworks and it's kind of a day off and there's parades and everybody gets drunk? Is it like that in Canada?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yep. Pretty much exactly the same.
That's what I thought, but I wanted to check. I wasn't quite sure. So you actually have off work today, and it is a national holiday.
Yes. Yep. We're off work. Well, just relaxing.
Well, the fireworks, Jamie, have already started in Florida, and I don't know about you guys out there, but our dog will be happy when the 4th of July is over. I can say that. Because,
oh, man, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Another week of the dog going into conniptions. We're going to put her thunder shirt on and leave it on the whole week. Because, well, Rhonda, thank you so much for calling us. We appreciate it. Happy Canada Day. You enjoy yourself today and be safe and have a lager for us.
Hello. Jason wanted to say hello, but he's working on a hard drive failure.
Okay, well, hi, Jason.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
All right. Take care.
Okay,
thanks,
thank
Rhonda.
You.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
There's Rhonda, one of our listeners from Canada, calling in to say hello. One of our legacy listeners at that. So you're going to a show here in a couple of weeks. Are you going to be ready for a show? Is the horse going to be ready? Who's going to be less ready, you or the horse?
Let me tell you that when you have no abdominal muscles whatsoever anymore and you have no strength, you're not ready. But I'm just tired of being out of the loop. I'm tired of saving money. I'm ready to start spending again. And how you do that is competing your horse.
I thought how you did that was having a baby. That's
yeah, that's true. All of it. But no, I think, I don't think we're planning to win or be very competitive. It's actually an unbelievably large show that's going on at the Coconino Horse Trials, and they have 160 entries. In my division, there's like 20-something people. So I'm not planning on doing very well. I'm just planning on showing up. How about that?
There we go. Well, we mentioned a little bit earlier in the show that Baby Luke has a best friend, or the other way around. I'm not sure which. But whether Baby Luke wants it or not, he has a best friend. And tell us who Baby Luke's best friend is.
Oh, my gosh. He has no choice who his best friend is, because anytime he is anywhere around, she tries to kiss him and lick him and hold him and squeeze him. There is a love that has brewed between Baby Luke and Zenyatta, my dog.
You have the cutest pictures of Zenyatta guarding him.
It's insane. It's like, it's kind of crazy because I don't know the way to describe it, because it's not like she's drooling over him or something. She just will sit with him. Wherever he is, she will be there and she will sit with him. If he cries, she runs to wherever he is. And it's almost like she's looking at me like, hey, mom, he's crying. And he sleeps on a bassinet next to my bed, and she will lay on the bed and stare at him. If he is in his baby swing, she will sit outside the baby swing and stare at him. It's crazy. I just sent Jennifer a picture to post on Facebook of Zenyatta and her baby, and this is the way that it is all the time. It's crazy. I don't know if it has anybody ever had that happen before.
Where the dog, where the dog is super attached.
Yes, yeah. Totally attached. I mean, loves him, and it's to the point. If I'm holding him and I'm sitting down, she'll come over, lick his head, she'll lick his feet, whatever. And of course, I'm like, get away from the baby, like, quit licking him. And it just doesn't work, and she's out of control with it. She loves him.
And now the other dog,
really cute.
The other dogs don't really pay much attention.
I'm sure that Boomer or Joy would love to see the baby, but Zenyatta will not let them anywhere near him. I mean, growls, turns around, like, won't let them anywhere near him. It's kind of crazy. At least she lets me around him. That's probably pretty good.
Well, did you ever get, you know, you mentioned you didn't get your prize from when you punked us, which did you really think after punking us you were going to get a prize? But I know that you were waiting for a black caviar briar from the Briar people. Did that ever arrive? Did it get there faster than your postcard from Rhonda? Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, that did. It arrived, and it is beautiful. And if anybody is a black caviar fan at all, definitely get one of the Briars, because it looks just like her, and it is just such a cool pose. And I recommend it to everybody. And they also sent me a picture of Black Caviar and Peter Moody, her trainer, together. So it was it's really cool. Really cool. Okay. Thank you guys for doing that. And thanks to Briar for doing that.
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad you got it. That's good. So is anything else up other than babies out there and the heat that we need to know about?
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see. What else has been going on? You know, it's just baby all the time. Oh, I've had lots of family in town. That's been really exciting. My mother and my mother-in-law were here at the same time, so that was thrilling. the two of them, they just talk to each other, and they don't stop talking. And so the talking goes on constantly, and it never takes a break. It's like, I'm going to tell a story, then they tell a story, then the other one tells a story, then the other one tells a story. And that's really exciting. And you know what else happens around women that have had babies that are around a new baby? All they do is tell the story of when they had a baby.
Yep, that's right.
It's insane. I'm like, wow. That happened 35 years ago. Let it go.
Yeah, but that's ingrained. You're going to be doing the same thing when you're 60, you know, and you're sitting on the porch. You're going to be doing the same thing. I mean.
And you know what else there is, Glenn? You may be right. But is it really important for my father, when he gets here and sits down and meets his grandson for the first time? I mean, my dad, nobody else in my family has kids. I have two brothers, and they're disasters. So they don't have children. They're not married, you know. And so there's just me. I have a first grandkid. I'm 35 years old. So it's not like this is new. Like, he's been waiting a long time. And he sits down, and I hand him the baby. And he's looking into his grandson's eyes. And he looks up at me and he goes, you know, I'd really like a granddaughter, too. What? Are you messing with me right now? Are you kidding? That's what you say? What is wrong with men?
I could see your dad saying that, too.
Totally honest as can be. Not trying to be funny. Like,
his,
seriously, like,
in his
I
best
want
Southern accent, I can hear him saying that.
Now, I mean, you know, it would be really great. You know, when you going to go ahead and give me a granddaughter? I'm like, you're holding your new grandson
usually
in your arms.
Usually grandfathers want a boy, you would think, you know? Guess it.
Well, he has a boy. Clearly, he needs a girl now.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So when's that happening, Jamie?
Yeah. I could say the same thing that I said to my father, which is go F yourself. But, yeah. Pregnancy and being a mother and this lack of sleep has given me a very sharp tongue.
Let's take a break for our commercial, and then we have our first guest coming up. We're going to talk about saddlebreds a little bit here this morning, learn a little bit about that American breed. And then we have Uta coming up later in the show. And you're right, Uta was scheduled. We were going to do a listener co-host today for the first time, but she knew that if you came back, then that wasn't going to happen. But she's going to be a guest on our show. We're going to do a listener highlight instead. And we're going to talk to Uta, who's one of our biggest fans here and for Horses in the Morning. And we really love having her. So we're going to chat with her about her life and her horses and get to know her a little bit better. But that's coming up right after this word from Omega Alpha.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Pace with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And I would like to thank Omega Alpha Equine because being that it is incredibly hot and I live in the very dusty desert and my horse has been standing around doing nothing for months, Jet is now officially on Respa-Free, just trying to kind of give him a clean out, you know, get his lungs cleaned out a little bit. And, of course, everything that they use is legal in the horse shows. It's non-testable. It's all herbal and organic. And so we would like to thank them. He's been on it for 3 days now. He just was kind of coughing a little bit when I first started riding him. And I think just the dust kind of settles in their lungs here. And so Respa-Free is what I'm using. And thanks Omega Alpha because I think it's working.
Well, that's a good thing. I can't imagine horses out there in 120 degrees. I just can't imagine it. It's got to be tough on them, too. So all the help they can get is definitely needed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ugh, dusty and gross.
Omega Alpha Equine, your home for all natural products. Go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, we have our first guest up here of the day. We have Kim Skipton, who is the curator of the American Saddlebred Museum. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Just fine, thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, tell us a little bit about the breed, about the saddlebred. We haven't talked too much about the saddlebreds here on the show, so this is kind of new for us. Tell us a little bit about the breed, how it started, and that kind of thing.
Sure. The saddlebred is a horse that was developed by the 18th century colonists. They were looking for a good-looking, sensible, adaptable, comfortable animal to ride and drive. And the saddlebred is a composite of several different breeds, including the Narragansett Pacer, the Thoroughbred, the Morgan, the Canadian Pacer. It's sort of a mishmash. And, you know, we're often known as the American horse or the horse America made because we really are a breed that just developed here in the United States from all kinds of different horses. And the name American Saddle Horse became official in 1891. That's when we began our first breed registry, and we're actually the first breed to have a registry. A lot of people think it'd be the Thoroughbred, but it's not. It was the American Saddlebred. And it's a breed of horse that was popular because it could be a workhorse all day long. You know, back in the early 1800s, they'd use it to, you know, plow some fields, but then on Sunday, they might go to the county fair seat and want to have a show horse. And they would drive up in their fancy saddlebred that had a little higher headset, little arched neck, kind of a high-set tail. And it just looked like a fancy show horse, but at the same time, it was also a workhorse during the week. So that's so, really what the breed was made for.
So they used them for driving back then?
Absolutely, yeah. They pulled doctor's buggies. They pulled kids to school. They pulled the plows on the farms. and yet they were also a showy enough horse that they could clean them up on a Sunday and drive them into town, and their horse looked a little fancier. It was bred to have a higher, longer neck. It was bred to for some pretty characteristics.
Now, is there a breed?
And that's what they were looking for.
So they were the first registry, obviously. Obviously, the breeding requirements back then, we had a little bit of everything mixed in there. I assume,
sure.
Is it still that way? Is it still allowed to be crossbred to a certain degree, or how's that work?
No, actually, it's not. They allowed the crossbreeds up until about the late 1930s, mid-1940s, and one of the last really famous horses that was a crossbreed was a horse named Oakhill Chief, and he was our world's grand champion five-gated horse in 1943, 45, and 46. And after that, they got him registered, even though his dam was not a saddlebred. It was actually called a plains mare. It was a spotted mare off the Oklahoma plains. And after he won, they decided to close the registry. They allowed him to be registered as a saddlebred, and he was the last one that was registered that way. From now on, they're all pure-blooded saddlebreds. They're just saddlebreds bred to saddlebreds.
But they can have a variety of gaits, right? I mean, they're not all three or five gaited, right?
Well, right. When you bring up an American saddlebred as a young horse, you know, their conformation, their attitude, and their breeding will sort of tell you if it's more suited to do just the three gaits, the natural gaits, the walk, the trot, the canter, or if they're a horse that leans more towards learning the man-made gaits, which are called the slow gait and the rack, and that becomes the five-gated horse. But not every horse that's a saddlebred is going to be five-gated. It just kind of depends on the horse, the way he's built, you know, and his disposition if he wants to learn the new gaits.
I guess what they ultimately end up wanting to be using for, because I know there's a lot of saddlebreds that do still do driving of different kinds, and hunters and jumpers.
Oh, sure.
And dressage and all of that, actually. There's
well, yeah, it's a very versatile breed. Yeah, I mean, we're actually, everyone who breeds one, of course, wants to breed the ultimate show horse, but it's like breeding dogs or anything else. You don't always get the one that's going to win at the highest, you know, type of shows that there are in the country. So those horses might be more suited to be a hunter horse, learn some dressage. Maybe you ride it on trails. Maybe it does cross country. It's a very adaptable breed. So if it can't make a show horse the way, you know, we want them to pick up their legs high enough and show this good at motion, well, then there's a lot of other things it can do.
Now, the show gait and the rack are two that mm-hmm. I think we've all kind of, we have a vision of what they are. We've seen them at fairs or shows where they're doing it. Was that something that was, when was that developed? What point in time?
Well, actually, a lot of the saddlebred horses, because they had pacers back in their original breeding of them, they have a predisposition maybe to do a little ambling gait. And that's just been refined through the years to become a slow gait or a rack, where each foot hits the ground just very, very briefly. For just one moment, there's, you know, a single foot is on the ground and the other 3 feet are up in the air. And it's, you know, people have tried to teach Arabians to rack and different breeds. And some of them can do it, but it just seems like the saddlebred has more in their bloodlines to make it easier for them. But if the horse doesn't want to rack, it just doesn't. I mean, that's, you know, why we have the different divisions, because some of them just don't.
And I think some people also get confused between the Tennessee Walkers and the saddlebreds.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we're a trotting breed. And as long as a breed is supposed to trot, there can't be any of the soaring issues that come up with the walking horses. It has to be a horse that's sound. That's, you know, number one thing. You have to be a sound horse to be able to trot. And all of our horses trot, whether they also do a slow gait and rack or not. They all have to trot.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. I was wondering about that because I actually didn't know quite the difference either.
Yeah, and if you stood a walking horse up next to a saddlebred and you had the very best specimen of both breeds, conformation-wise, you could see some difference. The saddlebred is going to be more refined, have more of an arch to its neck, finer boned all the way down through its legs. So if you stood them together, it would be very clear that they're different horses. It's just sometimes hard when you don't have them, you know, right next to each other.
Tell us some interesting or fun things about the breed that we may not know.
Well, I don't know if a lot of people know that it's a real intelligent breed of horse. And actually, if you ever growing up watched the TV show Fury, the horse that was in that was a registered American saddlebred named Highland Dale, who was just a brilliant animal, and they could teach him tricks, and he did things with just hand commands, voice commands. he not only was on every Saturday morning in Fury, he starred in the movie Black Beauty. He starred in Giant. Elizabeth Taylor wrote him in Giant. He starred in a movie called Gypsy Colt. He starred in a movie with Bing Crosby called Riding High. Just real smart horses that learned very quickly. And most of the people that were using horses back in that day that needed a trained horse for a movie, they tended to lean towards the saddlebred because they were so clever.
Now, is William Shatner has saddlebreds, right? Is it saddlebreds he has?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He's just one of the celebrities that has been turned on to saddlebreds. He does. He had a breeding farm here in Kentucky for a while. He still competes in shows and raises a few horses each year. We also have, like, the famous author, Rita Mae Brown. She does saddlebreds, but she does it in a different way. Her saddlebreds that she chooses are just for hunting and for pleasure trail riding. That's what she uses them for, whereas William Shatner is trying to breed them more for a show horse. Patrick Duffy, the actor, has had saddlebreds. Barbara Mandrell, the country western singer, has had saddlebreds. Sylvester Stallone owned a saddlebred. Mike Nichols and Diane Sawyer have owned a saddlebred. A lot of celebrities have, and currently Carson Kressley is showing saddlebreds.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. We have a whole diversified group of people that tend to have them. And I think in the celebrity world, one would get one, and somebody would say, what kind of horse is that? And they'd say, well, I want one of those. So we've had five.
Hold on. I got to jump in here.
What?
I want to ask Glenn.
You had to jump in at Carson Kressley?
Yeah, do you know who Carson Kressley is?
Isn't he the guy?
What show is Carson Kressley famous for?
Wasn't he one of the guys from the guys that did the... What's the name of the show?
Queer Eye
for the Straight guy. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes,
yep.
That's it. That's Carson. Yes.
That's funny.
Had to jump in and see if he knew, because he was like, oh, Carson Kressley. And it was either he was just going along with it or he knew who it was. And I just had to find out. Either way, it was going to be good.
That's funny.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful promoter of the Saddlebred. In fact, he's one of the board members of the Saddlebred Museum, and is probably one of our biggest promoters of the breed. He has quite a few Saddlebreds.
I know that he ends up going to the horse park for a lot of events, too. He helps out with things, and he's been very active in the horse world that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, he's very good. Very helpful to us.
Of course, your museum is located at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Right. We're on the grounds of the horse park, and we are, if you come to the horse park for a visit, when you buy your ticket, we're included. So it's all, you come to the horse park, you pay for one ticket, and that gets you admission to the huge horse park and to the freestanding American Saddlebred Museum, which is right in the middle of the grounds of the horse park.
How long has the museum been around?
Well, actually, we were opened in 1962 at Spindletop Farm here in Lexington.
Oh, yeah.
And then we moved over here to this building in July of 86, I believe.
Very good. Well, you know, I know a lot of saddlebreds are being used. A lot of trail riders like saddlebreds because of their gaits. They're a little bit smoother, and they're fun for trail riding.
Exactly.
And, of course, back in the day, that's what they were used for. They were used because you had to ride long distances, and they were an easier horse to do that with.
Right, and they're, you know, very comfortable horse. They can go a long time. They're sturdy. They can take a lot. So, yeah, we have a lot of people that do them just for the backyard, just for trail rides. They do some jumping. They do, you know, dressage. They try different things with them, and the breed is pretty adaptable. It does just pretty much whatever you ask of it.
Now, the ones I've met tend to be a little bit taller, right?
Some of them. We actually, at the horse shows, we have classes divided for horses 15-2 hands and over, and 15-2 hands and under,
okay.
And a hand is approximately 4 inches.
Right.
So they're different. They come in different sizes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, cool. And do you have them? Do you have saddlebreds?
Oh, yeah. I own them myself. I breed them myself. I've shown since I was about 7 years old. So, yeah, I'm very deeply involved in the breed.
Well, where can people learn more about the museum and what you guys do? And then I want to ask you one quick thing about an incentive program that you have.
Sure. You know, if you want to just learn about the saddlebred in general, you can go to asha.net, and that's the American Saddlebred Horse Association's website. They've got history of the breeds on there, a lot of general information. If you're looking to find out about our museum, you can go to asbmuseum.org. That's the Saddlebred Museum's website, and you can see photos of what you can do here at our museum, the different things we have here. We had a big $3 million renovation back in 2010, So we've got a lot of really nice things here at the museum. If you've got kids, you know, you want to bring out here, there's a whole lot of interactive items they can do. If you have people that are into art, we have the largest collection of George Ford Morris equine art of anybody in one place. So we've got some really nice things out here.
And I know the USEF has an incentive program for the American Saddlebred, similar to the ones we've talked about for the Thoroughbreds, where it's a sport horse incentive program. And you can find out more about that at the USEF website as well. So, you know, trying to...
Right.
Because they're involved in all kinds of different sport horse disciplines as well. So that's why...
sure, yeah.
That's why they offer that incentive program, too, if you're showing Saddlebreds. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you being on, Kim. And again, it's asbmuseum.org. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I sure appreciate it. Hope somebody learned a little things about Saddlebreds.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a break. I have a song for you, Jamie. I thought, well, it's your first day back. And, you know, Peace, Love, and Horses by Jared Rogerson is one of your favorites.
Yay!
So I'm doing that one for you. But first, I want to mention Amazon. If you're buying anything at Amazon in the near future, please go to horsesinthemorning.com or horseradionetwork.com and click on the Amazon link, the banner on the left side of the page. It takes you right to Amazon, and we get a little bit of a credit for everything you buy through Amazon when you do that. And it helps support us here at the Horse Radio Network and keeps everything going. Doesn't cost you any more, except for it costs you one extra click. And we appreciate everybody that's been doing that. That number has been steadily rising, the number of people have been doing it. So I know it's hard to remember sometimes. You just type in Amazon and you go there and you buy stuff. I forget sometimes. So that's why we keep reminding you. Help support us by clicking on the Amazon link. And now, a little Jared Rogerson for Jamie. Peace, love, and horses.
Yay.
Good to have you back, Jamie.
Flowers in her hair. She can go anywhere on that Palomino mare. She's got Rocky Mountain ivory that she wears around her neck. Damn it, Grateful Dead plays on in her head somewhere between. Cowboy and hippie, she's all about to love horses and me. She could end the war with just a smile. She can drive a tractor, baling hay from miles and miles. She says in a sense, cowboy and hippie, she's all about to love horses and me. A handshake, that's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that
one thing that can't change anything. She loved me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
And that is my former boyfriend, Jared Rogerson. I'm now married with children, so I can't have other boyfriends
anymore.
Well,
he has kids, too, so you're even.
That's true. It was destined to fail a long time ago. That's Jared Rogerson's Peace, Love, and Horses, one of my favorite songs by him. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. And Glenn, did you know that you have a new neighbor?
No, I didn't.
You have a brand new neighbor, and he has bought a, 7,000 square foot Mediterranean style home, 4 bedrooms, swimming pool, 20 stall barn, paddocks, and schooling area for the horses. And your new neighbor has the name of Bill Gates.
Oh, wow. He's moving into the neighborhood?
Not your neighborhood, sadly, unless you live in a Florida mansion in Wellington. But Bill Gates has basically bought a $8.7 million 4-acre property in Wellington for his daughter's equestrian pursuit.
Boy, that seems to be the thing, isn't it? Bloomberg did it. Springsteen did it. They're all buying their kids these million-dollar mansions. They must have million-dollar mansion row where all these kids are.
They must, because you've also got Tommy Lee Jones in there, who's a polo player. It says Michael Bloomberg, Springsteen. Yep. They all live in the same neighborhood. He apparently rented the home from December of 11 till May of the last year. And they're like, you know what? Let's just buy it. What the hell? It's only almost $9 million. But when you're worth like $80 billion, then you can.
Yeah, maybe they just wanted to, you think they just wanted to see if their kid was going to stick with the horse thing before they committed? Do you think that was it?
I think it's that you know, most people go, should we lease a horse to see if the kid is committed? Not buy a $9 million property in Wellington, but the place is absolutely to die for. I mean, there's a horse head sculpture, water fountain sculpture out front. You can actually, I'll post a link to it on Facebook. It's let me just put it this way. The closet, just the master bedroom closet, is bigger than my entire living room.
And it's probably completely
crazy.
Walnut oak wood lined that you wouldn't want to put any of your barn clothes in there.
Oh, no, it's not for barn clothes. I'm sure there's a separate barn clothes closet as well.
Yes,
here, I'll post it so you can see it right now.
That's off the barn clothes room that's right inside the door of the massive kitchen, I'm sure.
The wing that's dedicated to barn clothes. The wing.
Well, I guess she decided that she was going to keep riding. Boy, it is seem to be the thing now. The sport for rich girls, you know, girls with inheritances, is horses now. Skiing for a while was it, and now the cycle has trended towards horses.
Well, you know, you've got to figure out a way to waste your money when you have that much. And what better way to waste your money and just burn it than having horses?
That's true.
I mean, it just doesn't get easier than that.
Did you notice they're all jumpers, too? Well, have you noticed that?
Yeah. You know, there's the jumpers, and you would think that reining would attract all the big money because all the big money is in reining, but I guess it's in the two sports, Western or English, show jumping or reining is where you're going to make the most.
That's true.
I don't know. I
don't think it has anything to do with money yet. I think it has to do with where the friends are, where the children with inheritances are, and they're all in jumping. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And it is kind of a thrilling sport. You're jumping horses 6 feet. You know, that's kind of a fun thing to do. Yeah.
And you just get to buy more horses that jump even higher than your friend's horse.
That's true. Yeah, you said he spent $9 million on the property. We don't know how much they spent on our horses. Could be close to that.
Yeah, that's true.
Could be real close to that. Well, I did want to mention they're going to be doing something new with horses in Atlantic City. The bill went through the Atlantic City Council that they are going to be having races on the Atlantic City Beach. This will be held October 11th and 12th. It's the Americanization of Paleo, which is a race that's held in Italy, they race around the town square. It's usually a half-mile race around the town square. I think we've all seen
that
videos of
crazy.
It. The crazy stuff. Right, exactly. We've seen. I think it's probably going to have to be a little safer than that in America because PETA will be there and everybody else will be there. But it's just basically going to be a distance of 3/4 mile on the beach. At least it's a softer footing. 50 horses will compete with elimination races, and they'll narrow it down to 10 who will race for the American, is it Paleo? Is that how you say it? Paleo Championship.
I guess.
Yeah, so this is just a way. See, they couldn't get the diving horses back into Atlantic City, so I think this is their way to get it. And poor Atlantic City's out there going, nobody's paying any attention to us anymore. Nobody loves us. So they got to do something to get some attention. And I guess they figured this would be it.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we get to our guest, I just want to let everybody know, and I'm sure that we all have it in our back pocket, is they are actually doing a documentary on Harry Dallaire and Snowman, and they are seeking extra footage from those times from, I don't know, let's see here, I'm looking up the dates. Their information is being sought and footage from the 1950s jumping horses, including Andante, Sonora, McLean Street, a Windsor Castle from any of the national horse shows between 1955 and 1965. And you, if you are able to find any sort of footage to give to them, or you make a donation, your name's going to be in the movie credits. How cool would that be?
And the other thing is, if you have the footage, if you have the equipment to actually play that particular reel on, congratulations for that, because who has that anymore?
Yeah, I know. Maybe somebody just has it, though, and they don't have any way to play it. Well, they are looking for any information to make this documentary true to life. And I'm telling you, I'm one person. I just can't wait for this documentary to come out. But I've always wanted to have – that's like a bucket list thing, to have my name in movie credits. You know how you sit to the end of the movie going, is my name there? I mean, people must do that. Well, I'm that guy. I'm like, I want to sit there and just – at the very end, they go, oh, by the way, thanks to Jamie. Yeah, I want to see that. So,
speaking of which,
I'll see what the minimum donation is.
Speaking of which, you know what this week is, don't you? Speaking of movies, you know what this week is.
Well, I don't
Jamie,
know, but I saw Superman. It was
wake up.
Awesome.
You know what this is.
Oh, is it time?
It's time this week.
Is it time?
Thursday, it opens.
The Lone Ranger?
Lone Ranger opens on Thursday. What are you going to do? You have a child. You're going to have to get a babysitter already.
I don't know. I'm screwed because my whole family was here when Superman came out. So I got to go see Superman, which, by the way, oh, my God, that guy's hot. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have any babysitters now for I'm going to have to figure it out.
You're going to have to figure something out because it's Lone Ranger. We've been waiting how long? How long have we been talking about this movie? For like a year?
I think that what's going to happen is I'm just going to be the one with the baby in the theater.
Well, you know what? I suspect that this movie is going to be so loud, a baby crying is not, you're not even going to hear it. That's my
That's
guess.
True. He'll need little baby head, little baby earplugs. It'll be too loud.
Well, that's coming out. We'll definitely, Jennifer and I are going to definitely get to see it. So we'll have our review right away. I don't know if we'll get to see it on Thursday, but we'll definitely get to see it over the weekend. And we'll talk about it next Monday. So that is for sure. We are going to see that.
Hey, all of our listeners need to
guys too, so we can compare notes.
Yeah. We'll definitely do that.
And did you guys see Superman?
No, we did not see Superman. Superman's never been a favorite of mine. Just to say, tell them the same story over and over again, I kind of get bored with Superman.
Yeah, it's not the same story. Definitely not the same story. It is so cool. It is like, there's stuff that happens in outer space, Glenn. Like, you would like it. Your little nerdness would love, your geekiness would love this Superman. It was absolutely awesome. And I mean, I'm not even into like fight scenes or really even action movies, but I have always had Superman has always been my favorite. And it was really, really, really cool. It was, even my dad went last night because we sent them, and he came back. He was like, wow, that was not what I was expecting. And it was, what a great story. It's just a really great story. And Jennifer, the guy who plays Superman, at one point walks towards the camera without his shirt on, and it was almost embarrassing how actually during the movie I'm watching it with my husband, I was like, oh my God. Said that in the theater. And Chad's like, are you okay? Need me to hose you down? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. Like, oh my God.
Speaking of which, before we get to Uta, one second, Uta, we'll be with you in a second. Have you seen the endless commercials for that new show, the new Survivor show where they're naked?
No.
You haven't? What's it called, Jennifer? Maybe you could look it up. It's Naked and something. I forget what the...
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid. And they actually dropped a naked couple off in like anywhere. You know, Africa was the one we saw the commercial for. And they're naked and they have to survive with nothing. They give them nothing and they have to survive for like 4 or 5 days. I forget what it is. But they're naked. And apparently it's okay to show complete rear nudity now, because even in the commercial, they're showing him and her completely nude from the rear with none of those little, squiggly lines. When they show the front, you get the little squiggly lines. But from the back, no. So apparently that's approved now. Because it's even in the commercial that way.
You love it, don't you?
I'm going to have to check that show out. I'm just going to have to. I'm fired now.
Awesome.
And I'm not even into the Survivor shows. But I'll be taking a look at that one. See you.
Yeah, you might as well. You might as well. Well, hey, let's get to our guest. She's been on hold, incredibly patient. Uta Shepherd, one of our most loyal supporters, calling in from, is it Greenwich, Ohio, then? Uta, how are you?
Oh, hello. No, I believe we pronounce it Greenwich. We're pronouncing it, I guess, the old hillbilly style.
Yeah, because your accent would really, really say that you're an old hillbilly. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Germany.
Okay, see, and this is how the whole, it was a little bit of a name gate, if you will, with Uta's name, because it's spelled U-T-E. And for, I don't know, 2 years, 2.5 years, Glenn, we've been calling her Uti, because that's the old hillbilly way to do it. And my neighbor, who's German, was on my Facebook page and saw a comment. She's like, who's your German friend, Uta? And I was like, what are you talking about? I don't have any German friends named Uta. And she's like, yeah, you do. And she points it out. I'm like, I've been pronouncing it wrong for 2.5 years, and she never said anything. So it is Uta, not Uti. And I want to apologize again for that.
Oh, that's perfectly okay.
Now, she has told me that she kind of liked hearing me say it that way. So just saying.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, welcome back, Jamie. We've missed you.
Oh, thank you very much. I know you and I have been in touch on Facebook quite a bit, because when you're feeding a baby, the only entertaining thing to do, because I'd stare at the baby, is to look at your phone. So I'm in like 27 words with friends games right now, and I'm on Facebook all the time. And so Uta keeps me entertained, posting things. And it is nice to be back. Thank you very much. And This is about you. This interview here, Uta, is about you and kind of getting to know you, because you and I we don't know that much about you. So I wanted to ask you, when did you get your start in horses?
You know, that's been such a long time ago. I honestly couldn't put a time or a date to it, but I've loved horses all my life, I guess.
Yeah, so all your life you're one of the ones who was born with it. And so when did you come over to America and why?
I came over here in 1984, and the reason why is because I met my husband over there while he served in the Army.
Oh, wait, keep going, because this is juicy. She sees this man in uniform and...
She's not the only one that likes a guy in uniform. You're not the only one.
I never actually got to see him in uniform until I was over here, so I wouldn't have had any clue what he looked like.
No way!
Yeah, for 6 months we were dating, and then he proposed, and 6 months later I came over here to the States, and we got married.
Wow. Whoa. Wow. So how did you guys meet?
We met. I went with a friend of mine to meet her boyfriend, and that's how I met him, and the rest is all history.
Oh, it was a setup. I gotcha. Hey, just come hang out with my friend. He's got a friend, and da 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 da. Yeah, and now is your friend married to that guy?
No, I seriously don't think so. And I kind of lost touch with the friends that I had over there in Germany. And frankly, I've lost a lot of my German. I probably can't even talk to my family too much anymore.
I don't know. It'll probably come right back. It'll come right back. Well, hey, so you're in Germany. You meet this guy. 6 months goes by. He proposes. Did he have any idea what he was getting himself into, proposing to a horse girl? Or did you hide that part of your life from him at that point?
I don't think he had any inkling that I was a horse girl. growing up, my grandma raised me, and we never really had a lot of money. So growing up in a big city like Berlin, which West Berlin, there wasn't that many opportunities to go riding. So I would tag along with a couple of my cousins that they were able to take riding lessons. And while they were taking riding lessons, I would muck out the stalls, hoping just to, being around the horses, brushing them. And once in a while, they let me up on one. And that's how I kind of got started.
Wow. Wow. So you were the one who was doing all the work. I gotcha. So what happened when your husband discovered, as they say, you're living over here, you are kind of not in a city like East Berlin or West Berlin, sorry, but you say, I want to go ride a horse, or I would like to own a horse. What was your husband's reaction?
When I first came over here, we were stationed at Fort Benning in Georgia, and I think the first couple of weeks that we were there, he actually took me to the riding stable so I could go for a ride, and I think he knew all along that horses were a passion for me, and he did everything that he could just to, give me the opportunities to ride.
Gotcha. So he was supportive of it the whole time. It's not like he surprised him with it. So that's good. So tell us about your horses you have now.
I have two currently. One is Major. He's my quarter horse. He's 24 years old. And I have a retired racehorse, a standardbred racehorse. He is 25. His name is Stormy. He was actually very successful at the racetrack, too. He came to me in 1996, right off the track. Major's been with me since he was about a year and a half old.
Wow, you keep him. When you get him, you keep him.
Well, Major was, he's very special. He was my birthday present from my husband after he returned from Desert Storm. So that he's very special to me.
Well, there's a guy.
Major
there's,
brownie point.
Yeah, there's a guy every girl wants.
Wow.
Horses for birthday presents. That doesn't happen a whole lot there, Uta. That's a good thing. Now, tell us, what have you ever showed, or is it trail riding? What kind of riding do you do?
Well, I don't show. I ride for fun. The only kind of competitive thing that I've ever done was a few years ago. I was in a hunter pace with Major. The first time we went, I was so tickled. I still have it. I won a fifth place ribbon, and that was very, very special to me. And then a couple years later, I had to skip 1 year because I broke an ankle. I couldn't go. But a couple years later, I went back and I won the blue ribbon. I was so excited.
Well, that's terrific. Did you ever hunt then? Did you hunt as well?
No, not anything like that. I started out riding English and hunter, jumping, that kind of stuff in Germany. But when I came over here and the first time I sat down in a Western saddle, it was like sitting on a couch.
Yeah, a lot of people, it's funny because a lot of people like that, I kind of like Western saddles, but Jennifer, we have a Western saddle and she rides in it occasionally, and every time when she comes back, she goes, I don't know how people do that.
I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. I'm like, God, that is so awful. There's just too much. Just too much.
Jennifer likes it. I mean, she'll, I think what she wants to do, Jennifer, you can speak for yourself here, but I think you want to like it when you head out on the Western Saddle. You're saying, I want to like doing this, but every time when you get back, it's not so much.
Correct. I keep revisiting it. It's just not working out so far. Yeah.
Now, what, now tell us too. Now, when did you move over here?
I came over here in 84, straight from Germany, left everything behind that was familiar, was quite the change, too.
So were you there? I'm trying to think of when exactly the year was. Was that right before the wall came down in Berlin?
No, the wall came down after. I was already over here in the States when the wall came down, but I grew up with it. I was always pretty much just a few hundred yards outside of my bedroom window, so it was something I was very familiar with, and I frankly can't imagine what it would be like now. I have not been back since.
You haven't been back at all?
No.
Wow. Yeah, boy, it would be a whole lot different for you to go back now, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be definitely different, yeah, because I grew up, you know, knowing all the restrictions and, you know, traveling, you really were very limited, but They tried to make it so you really wouldn't notice too much. It was a great place to live, to grow up with. But at heart, I think I've always been kind of a country girl.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, you're definitely into it now. And you have horses, and you've kept them for a long time, and you trail ride, and you listen to us. So that makes you country girl right there.
Yeah. Well, every time we went on vacations, my grandma would take me to a farm, and I'd get up with the farmer to milk the cows. It sounds kind of corny, but, you know, that's what I enjoyed.
Well, you know, then her first experience coming to the United States was in Georgia, of all places. I mean,
yeah, girl. I mean, that's the way to do it.
Well, and if you think you know English, go to Georgia. You're going to find out otherwise, because they speak a totally different language down there.
Oh, you had to stick out like a sore thumb being in South Georgia. Oh, poor thing.
Well, she was on base, so that probably helped a little bit. Why don't you have like a German Southern accent?
Oh, I do. I have an accent.
Can you say y'all? Say y'all for us. Say y'all for us.
Y'all?
Say, oh, she can. See, she can say it. Yeah. So you must love it when Jamie goes into her best Southern accent when she gets all fired up.
Oh, they're hilarious. I love it. I love it. And by the way, Jamie, I had the same experience with my dog when my son was born. She's long gone since, but she was glued to the side of that baby.
Really? Now, did you have other dogs or any other kids, or was it just the one dog with the one kid?
It was the one dog. I brought her actually with me from Germany, and she was just glued to the side of that baby. A friend of mine one time tried to push the baby carriage, and she got bitten in the heels for it.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding. Oh, that's great. Well, so I'm not the only one who has the dog that it, like, Zenyatta used to be my dog. Wherever I would go, she would follow. If I was going to the bathroom and close the door, she'd sit outside the door if she didn't even come in with me, you know. And now she doesn't care about me at all. I've lost my dog. She just wants the baby.
She wants a baby of her own, and I guess she has one now.
Well, that surgery that she had at 6 months old is going to prevent that. But yeah, she's going to play with, she loves him so much, and that's cool that you had one too. And did you notice this, that when you were pregnant, like right at about 7-8 months pregnant, when I really started showing and getting uncomfortable, she was glued to me. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's understanding that I'm not feeling good and I'm not comfortable and she wants to take care of me. And then I have the baby, she forgets all about me. But I really felt like there was something was up. And
well,
almost like she knew.
I think they're pretty smart that way. I remember the day I came home from the hospital, and I had a little more difficult time delivery. She always used to jump up right at me and the paws and the belly and all that stuff, and that was the only time she did not do that. It's like she said,
really?
Couldn't do that.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And I would like to say that horses really know the difference, too. And I would like to say that they're sensitive and gentle, but I actually got bit on the belt by Jen. So when I was like 9 months pregnant, he bit me in the belly, you know, I'm like, you jerk. So mean. So yeah, it doesn't translate to horses at all, I don't think.
No, I think we're going to leave that where for our best, you know, our best companion friends, the dog, because the cat probably don't care either.
Yeah.
I don't think the cats get it. I think the cats just want to torment you more. Well, maybe that's
just
our cat.
You know what our cat has done? Speaking of the cat, my cat has never gone to the bathroom outside the litter box. We bring the baby home. He's crapped on the couch twice, and he crapped in the guest bed.
Yeah. A little jealousy going on there.
Mad.
A little jealousy.
Oh,
yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't even know the cat knew I lived here, aside from putting food in his bowl. He didn't even like me. And now he's like acting out because all of a sudden we have a kid in the house. I'm like, we never even pet you before. You won't let us.
He better watch it. He's going to be an outside cat before long. He's going to be living out there 117 degrees.
Yeah, exactly. If it wasn't 120 degrees, he would be outside.
Well, Uta, I want to thank you for all of the posts that you do and all the support that you have given the Horse Radio Network and Horses in the Morning specifically. You've been a terrific fan, and we really appreciate you. And there's a lot of people like you, and we want to start getting more of them on here to learn more about them. But thank you so much for all the support that you give us.
Oh, no, thank you so much. I mean, you've opened many doors that you don't even know about for me, and I'm really excited about them. I think I might have mentioned about the book that is going to feature the story of my thoroughbred that's coming out next year, which I'm super excited about. That was kind of in a roundabout way thanks to you guys. And
you're a celebrity.
Talk about that.
Yeah. Tell us about that. I don't think we mentioned that on the air.
Well, what had happened originally was that you guys had Elizabeth Letts on, and she was talking about the $80 champion, and she wanted to have stories sent in about your champions, and I ended up sending her my story, which she featured on her blog, and as a result of that, I had been contacted or found out really about Rebecca Ondoff, which was writing a new book, and she was looking for stories, and I submitted mine, and it was chosen to be in part of her book.
Wow. Well, that's great. How cool is that? Look what we did,
yeah,
Jamie. We did a good thing.
Yay.
No, that's terrific. And this will be about your OTTB?
Yes, that will be about my thoroughbred mare Tori, which died last year after her illness with cellulitis, and that's going to be wonderful. I feel really, really blessed that that came about.
Well, congratulations.
Now, I would like to point out, Glenn, that I also wrote a story about Jet and posted it on Elizabeth Letts. She featured me on her blog as well. Nobody contacted me about a book deal, though. I mean, really.
I guess they wanted the interesting stories, Jamie.
No, that's really cool. That's super exciting. And congratulations on that. That's really cool. And I know she was such a special horse to you. And I know that the decisions that you had to make at the end of her life were really difficult as well. And you did the best by her. And good for you for getting her story out there.
Yeah, I'm really happy about it. And I feel like, in a sense, you know, she'll go on. And I'll always have something to remember her by. And she was a wonderful horse. She truly was. We weren't together very long, but it was great.
Well, Uta, will you let us know when the book comes out so we can have you back on to talk about it?
Sure. It comes out in February of next year. I can't talk too much about it because of copyright issues, I guess. But Rebecca wrote a couple of other really, really awesome books, and they're wonderful.
Well, let us know, okay? Let us know when
it comes
out.
Okay, I will.
All right, thanks, Uta. We appreciate you being on.
Thank you.
And, of course, Uta lives in Ohio now, and she's, as I said, she's one of our best listeners. And, of course, you know, we are allowed to mention this. We're not allowed to mention what. But I sent this over to you, and Jamie and I haven't even talked about it. But when Lisa was co-hosting, Lisa Wysocki, a couple weeks ago, she mentioned that we're going to be in her next novel, The Horses in the Morning Crew, all three of us. And she sent us over the proofs to read, and we can't tell you any more than that. But we are in there. So I don't know if you got a chance to look at those, Jamie, but... we're in the book. We're in her next novel.
Let me tell you something. You send something like that over to me and say, my name is in a book. I've read the whole dang thing.
I figured you would.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool being in a novel. So we want to thank Lisa for that. And as we can talk more about that when her book comes out, which could be shortly. It'll be out shortly. So we'll be able to let you know where to find us in our first novel, The Horses in the Morning Crew. And she had fun with us, I think, in that book. So it was a good time. Hey, a couple things before we wrap up the day here. And one of the things I wanted to mention is that it's Frankie Lovato's you know, he's doing the 365 Days of Racing, the video series that he put together describing the different terms that they have in racing. And we've played some of them here. Well, he's at the halfway point. Today was the halfway point. He's at tip number 182. Woo! And we actually had a tip on there that I didn't know. I didn't know really what it meant. And it's called a listed race. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear what this one is?
Play it.
All right. Here
Play
we go.
It.
Welcome to Frankie Lovato's 365 Days of Racing Terminology. This series is for you, the fans, and in support of Jockey World's mission to improve, promote, and provide more education, health, and safety into the world of horse racing.
This is Frankie Lovato with today's very special term, number 182 of 365. This marks our halfway point of our 365-day racing terminology series. Today's term is listed race. A race that is marked as a listed race is typically a race that would be considered just below a graded or group race, but still of quality. Some of the major graded or group races today started as listed races, but were upgraded by an appointed committee to become a graded or group event. Graded or group races are the best races offered in horse racing around the world and are the uniform standard of quality for competing and breeding purposes on a global level. Graded or group races are placed in three categories, grade or group one being the best racing has to offer, then on to grade or group two and three. Winning these quality type races not only offers the biggest purse and prize money, but also offers the award of black type, a term that actually means that the accomplishments of a horse and their family will stand out in black bull type when they are listed in the sales and auction catalogs. This is eye-catching and increases their own and their family's potential value in the breeding and racing industry. Though a listed race is not a graded race, a horse can still earn black type by winning or placing in listed races. In the United States, there is the American Graded Stakes Committee of the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association. Each year, the committee evaluates the graded and listed races to decide which of these races should be changed or moved from their listed or graded status for the integrity of the sport. Horses running in these races can earn black type status that will be seen in future sales catalogs.
Today's clip is brought to you by BetPTC.com.
Well, there you go. That was his tip number 182. So that you continue to follow him, just look for Jockey World Radio on Facebook and you can find all of his tips there. But I didn't know exactly what that meant, so that cleared it up for me.
How many of these do you actually know? Probably not very many.
I do know some of them because we, you know, I used to follow racing a little bit and we used to go to the track occasionally. So I knew some of them, but some of them are, you know, you go, I don't really know what that means. I sort of know what it means. And, you know, you're kind of guessing. But Frankie does a good job of explaining them too. And I did get to catch a little bit of and called in to, I didn't mention this on the air. He had a fundraiser for Jockey World Camp. I don't know if you noticed this about 2 weeks ago where he did a concert. a live concert on his radio show so everybody could listen live in his backyard, actually. He was set up in the backyard. Uta went, actually. Uta was in the audience. She doesn't live too far from Frankie, and her husband went over. He had about 20, 30 people in his backyard watching, and then a whole bunch of people online. So we called in and donated some money on behalf of the Horse Radio Network, and I requested a song. He did a great job. He sang for 2 hours straight. I mean, he sang a lot of songs. He did a good job.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was fun. He said he made some money, too, for the camp, and that it went over very well. So I was glad to hear that. Good job, Frankie.
Well, good for him. Good job, Frankie.
Good job. Now, there were two races that happened this over the weekend. Jennifer will post a link. They're in the show notes, Jennifer, where riderless horses won. You know, occasionally you see the jockey go off and the horse, you know, is usually wanders off or is in the back of the pack or decides to head to a gate somewhere. Well, in these two particular races, one that was at Belmont Park and the other one at Charlestown in West Virginia, The riders got dumped immediately after the gate opened. They were dumped, and the horses ended up winning the race. Now, it doesn't count because if you don't have a rider, you're disqualified. But it was interesting to see the horses keep up and then end up winning the races for their jockeyless owners. But it was cool. It was fun. The videos were fun to watch, and Jennifer will post a link to the videos on Facebook.
Yeah, I watched both of those, and it's shocking that as the track announcer, they barely mentioned it. And
I
would be like,
I thought so
here
too.
Comes the riderless horse just down the home stretch. You know, yeah, they weren't that excited about it as I was. And that just goes to show you the competitiveness of these horses. They're like, we're going to win anyway, even though they're not being made to win.
Right. Well, I don't want to end on a negative note, but I think we do have to mention this because it's literally right down the street from your house, not too far. And that is the lightning fire that erupted over, I guess it started on Friday, in a little bit north of you, north of Phoenix there, right?
Yeah, it's up in what they call Prescott, Arizona. And Prescott is actually a very historical, really cool little city. And there's a fire that is up above the city and the mountains, and just an incredibly heartbreaking night last night. 19 firefighters lost their lives. The entire crew from Prescott lost its life. And it's so far, this fire has burned more than 6,000 acres, 100 structures, hundreds of homes, dozens of homes, and it's not over yet. So very, very sad. Unbelievably devastating time for firefighters and the whole country. You know, when we lose a firefighter, it affects everybody because they're heroes among us, and it's very incredibly sad. So hopefully the rest of these guys will be able to get this under control, and it's just unbelievably devastating.
And that was the squads that they use when they're fighting firefighters like that are usually 20 people, and this was an entire squad, and they're the first ones. They're on the front lines, and usually what they try and do is they always have an escape route, you know, a safe escape route that they can get out if the fire overtakes them quickly. And apparently the escape route went away on them. You know, it got overtaken, and they were just not able to get out. 19 of them died. So you know, our thoughts to all of them, and you know, what they're trying to do is help people and save lives, and unfortunately they lost theirs. It's very unusual, apparently, that an entire squad will end up in trouble like that, because they, you know, they're well trained and they know what they're doing. But in this case, you know, Mother Nature won. So we hope that they can get this one under control.
Prayers to their family, and I also have a very, very good friend that lives up in Prescott. My one of my vets actually lives in Prescott and has a farm up there, and I haven't heard from her yet. I've texted her a couple times this morning hoping that she's going to tell me, oh, everything's okay, but they're evacuating so much of Prescott, so just our best to everybody up there. And Lisa, I hope everything's going okay for you. And everybody else up there.
Well, very good. Well, let's leave on a positive note. Thank you so much, Jamie. It's good to have you on the show again. It's fun.
Good to be back, everybody. It's I'm gonna go back to sleep now if I can.
Now you'll be back on Friday. Helena will be here Wednesday, and Helena will continue covering Wednesdays for a little while here. But you'll be back on Friday. Wendy had a good time filling in, though. She loved doing really bad ads. She thought that was a lot of fun. So I'm sure she'll be checking in with us as well. But you can hear more of Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy.
If you enjoyed Wendy, you can hear her on the Driving Radio Show over at drivingradioshow.com. She's there every week. And thank you to Wendy for putting us up over the weekend. We were down at her house. We did this show live from there on Friday. And we had a great time over the weekend down in Sarasota. Went to the beach, got a sunburn, which I thought I had a good tan going that I wouldn't have to worry about it, you know, in Florida. Because yeah. I had a good tan, you know, I was doing good. And we went to the beach for 45 minutes and I had my shirt off and I got a little pink. Let's just say the sun's brighter at the beach. So thank you to Wendy. We really appreciate that. And Jamie, you have a great week and we'll see you again on Friday.
Okay, sounds great. Bye, guys. Everybody, don't forget, spay, neuter, and yell. Even if your dog wants a baby, you can have one.